Yes, you're wrong. The podcast where we talk trash about the things we would love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Max.
Yes, back again. Shelby, yes. How was your time off?
It was good. I went to the Oregon coast, which I'd never been to before.
Okay.
Very pretty. I was worried it was overhyped and I would be left unimpressed because generally I'm not like, I don't know. I don't love the beach. I don't know. It's like you see one ocean, you see them all.
I don't even know if I've ever known anyone who's gone to the Oregon coast. It's like, what city is that? Or is it not a city?
It's like all these little towns. So it's like we flew into Portland, but then you drive out to the coast like 2 hours.
And oh,
then you
Portland's have like. Portland's not on the coast.
No. Okay, so it's not like a major city. It's just all these little coastal towns. And so it's like, oh, cutesy little shops and mediocre matcha. And
but it's like cold.
It was chilly. We got one good day. I mean, it's like I don't know. It's well, like yeah, it's like Northern California
beach or
yeah, like, yeah. Well,
because it's not like Florida or like the Carolinas, right? Or something where it's like beachy in that regard.
But there's it's like sand.
Sweatshirt,
there's
sort of like walk on the beach. Is that like the kind of energy of it more?
I think in the summer it can get warmer. Like there were a lot of people swimming on the sunny day. Mm. But yeah, it's like a little bit chillier for sure.
Okay. Okay.
But it's beautiful. I mean, if you've seen the Goonies, that's like the big rock there is on Cannon Beach. That famous like.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't.
Or Free Willy is filmed in Oregon.
Seen Free Willy. Nope.
You never saw Free Willy?
No, I thought. Free Willy not set at SeaWorld?
It's like set in a SeaWorld type place, but it's in Oregon.
Because, like, in my mind, Free Willy was like they were trying to get a whale out of like a water park or whatever.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, great. But it isn't.
And they free
Oregon.
Them on the Oregon coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That feels potentially like then the whale won't know how to live. But I guess maybe that.
No, it's there have been orcas.
I shouldn't, you know.
The orcas, you know, travel the coast and they have been spotted there. Not while we were there, unfortunately.
Did you see the video that the New York Times posted that was like the first video that has ever been recorded of like a humpback whale giving birth? Did you see this?
I did, but I don't think it's the first.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it
said like
beautiful.
Maybe first with the drone or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was some sort of landmark thing. And I was like, oh, this whale is so cute, but it is also like, you know, the size of a school bus or whatever.
I know.
It was just born.
Yeah, pretty gnarly. We went whale watching. We saw some, which kind did we see? Humpbacks.
Humpback.
The one with the like barnacles, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay. Barnacle whale.
Yeah. Okay. It was a really, really windy, wet day. So we were on this little boat, like, you know, a little.
Were
it
you
wasn't
getting
like
seasick?
I wasn't, but a couple in our party puked. And it was unpleasant, but we did see some whale tails and, you know, generally saw the whales. And that's always fun, you know.
Speaking of puking, not to pivot.
Oh my God, no,
culture.
Where are you going to go?
But Tom Holland grew up on Hot Ones.
Yes,
and
he
is
did.
Apparently the first person to throw up on Hot Ones.
So cute. He had a little baby burp, yeah.
He apparently drank too much of the milk on set, and that's what did him in.
Yeah, which is cute. You know, he played it off well. Everyone was having a good laugh. He seems generally like a likable guy. So, and it wasn't chunks. You know what I mean? Like it was like he just regurgitated milk. So like that's good at least.
Yeah, I mean they didn't show the
yeah
the
yeah
consistency of the puke. Like so it's unclear exactly, but yes, he did say that it was like It was like a baby. Ugh.
Yeah.
Honestly, I find milk sort of disgusting as a beverage. And I'm I think if I was ever on Hot Ones, I would be more turned off by the milk than I was by the hot sauce.
And you just start guzzling hot sauce, psychology.
I think I would just drink water, which I know they say is what you're not supposed to do. But I'm I think that if I had milk, I would start gagging, which would make it worse.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem pleasant at all. I find the show so fascinating. I don't actually think I'd be good at it, though.
I guess, don't they say bread, is good to eat if you have hot stuff? Maybe I'd be just, gnawing on a chunk of bread or something. Yeah. I don't know, but...
You get some ice cream, Marcello, sugar bombed, licked a whole packet of sugar after getting to the death wing. I don't think that worked, but people have tried salt. I think some celebrity was like, the secret is to just eat salt after, but I don't know. That sounds wrong.
I'm like, all of those seem like not real things, It's like, if there was a surefire way to do that, we would have
Yeah. No, for sure. So I think it's just don't go on Hot Wings if you can help it.
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like if you get invited on Hot Ones, you go on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Because it's you're famous then.
It's a good one. It's a fun one, it seems. And I would do it if I was famous. It's like you say yes to that and you say yes to Amy Poehler's podcast and you're set. You know you're guaranteed a good a good clip.
Yes.
But it would be hard. It would be unpleasant.
I mean, I sort of think all of those shows would be fun to go. I'd go on Subway Takes. I would do the
brain. We do not need your bad Subway Take. I can't even think about what you would say.
I would say no one should have pets. That's my Subway Take. Get rid of the pets. I think somebody just did that one, though. That's the problem is that...
Everyone's got
the normal hot takes have all been taken, so now you have to come up with weird ones.
Yeah,
you're like, rough. I think squash is actually better than bacon or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, no one has said that on the show because it's so weird. Well, maybe someday we'll be on Hot Ones together.
Oh my gosh, how cute would that be? I can't wait. Did you see this story about Nick Cage's movie getting stolen?
Nick Cage's movie getting stolen? I don't think so.
Okay, so he's in this new movie coming, they finished filming, called Fortitude. Okay. And the film's writer and producer filed this lawsuit claiming that the film was on a hard drive and someone snuck in and stole the hard drive. And so now they have the film. And so he's suing the...
And it's not backed up anywhere?
I don't know. No, I think they have it. But the problem is that now there's this fully done film out in the world that could be leaked at any given moment.
Oh, okay.
And so he's saying it makes it impossible to sell because they are this does exist out in the world and we don't know where, and maybe that will impact, the ability to really promote or establish this well.
No, this is silly. Yes, pirating does, I'm sure, eat up a certain amount of ticket sales and things that you could theoretically have for a movie. But I don't think that really counts if the movie has not had any sort of marketing. Who is Googling this movie and trying to watch it if it was available on some bootleg service? Nobody knows about it. You'd have to be sort of a crazy Nick Cage fan or whatever in order to see this. And I think if you're a crazy Nick Cage fan, you would want to support him and see it in theaters. So I don't understand... how many people do they think this is eating into the sales of?
Well, I think they're saying it's so they're suing Netflix for losing this unencrypted copy of the film.
Well, I mean, great, sure. Do that as much as you want.
And so they're saying that they're also accusing Netflix of hiding, of covering up the security breach. So it's starting to feel like a premise for a Nick Cage movie, honestly.
Right.
And so I think it's like that's their reasoning for the excess of damages they're looking for in their suit is like, okay, well, now you've made it harder for us to sell. That being said, the entire Avatar, The Last Airbender, the animated show from like our childhood.
Okay, yes.
They did their sequel film, also animated, like set 20, like in the future. So all the kids in the original are now grown up and it's like a new standalone film. Sure. And that entire thing leaked. That entire film leaked and it did like cause quite a level of confusion about how to like deal with this because fans were able to watch and also pick apart and analyze. And so when they did finally drop the film on Netflix, it didn't make that big of an impact because most people had already seen it.
Yeah, but that's different because that is a pre-existing franchise where people right, are okay, excited okay. to watch yeah, it yeah, already. Yeah. yeah. It's like if somebody was like, oh, there's a new like J.K. Rowling Harry Potter book that's been leaked online. Like, I think, yeah. okay, yes, a lot of people would immediately try to search that. People would be, you know, or like if a new Taylor Swift album got like leaked on, like people would be interested. But I think that a Nick Cage movie is not doing that. Like, he's been in so many. This is a standalone thing. It's not a sequel.
Well, test screenings, Matt. Test screenings said the audiences would probably rate this 82%.
Okay, well, great. But I still don't think that people are reading an article that said, oh, there's a Nick Cage movie that's going to be an 82%. And they're like, oh, you know what I got to do is go stream a bootleg of that. It's just, no, that's not happening.
Well, so they're getting into it with Netflix, who says that they didn't use the industry standard safeguards of, like, you know, encrypting this file. And so they're getting a little tiff here. But the good news is that this movie is another film about D-Day. So.
Oh.
I mean, I think we need it. I don't think that day has been explored enough.
Is it about the weather?
No, it's about It's about allies trying to trick Nazis into thinking D-Day is going to happen on another day.
Right. No.
So it's a calendar. It's a calendar.
I'm like, that's basically thriller. Also the plot of Pressure. Did you see Pressure ever?
I have not. It was on the plane and I thought about watching it, but then I was like, I don't actually care.
What did you watch on the plane instead then?
I read a book.
Be bad. Oh.
I read a book.
Was it a good book?
Yeah. It was.
This is a sidebar. Have you read Yesteryear?
Of course I've read Yesteryear.
Okay. Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Gobbled that up.
I'm like halfway through. Okay. So we'll discuss on a later episode, I guess. On one hand, it seems
we should do an episode about it, honestly. Very hot. Very cool right now.
And very like, you know, connected to both of our backstories
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
On one hand, I feel like it is... like it's a book that you would obviously read and you read a lot, mm-hmm. but then I could also see you being like, no, like this is like garbage. I don't have time for this. I'm reading more important things.
Yeah. But that attitude is usually saved for like fairy smut feminist diatribes about the conservative right are more something I need to munch on, you know?
Right. Yes.
mm-hmm. Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unfortunately, I do feel like we need to discuss the world's saddest topic, at least in brief, which is Ariana Grande.
It's hard to talk about because, the best way I've seen people discuss is like, I think there's a difference between criticizing and analyzing someone's body as an individual person. And then there's criticizing and calling out the culture that supports or elevates certain unhealthy, impossible to meet standards. And so it's very easy for people to get defensive on either side. But Ariana Grande has been, there's been a lot of conversation about her body for the last 3 years or whatever since Wicked press tour and all of that analysis that came out around, oh, is she getting too skinny? Oh my gosh, they're so unhealthy. Oh, they're competitive, whatever. But I feel like one, talking about unhealthy body's beauty standards is always a good thing to me, I think. I think it's important to call out when something seems dangerous or impossible or unlikely to do in a healthy way. That doesn't mean I think you should be going in Ariana Grande's DMs and telling her that she looks sick and it's disgusting and you hate her as a person. But I do think the tide shifted with the release of her Petal music video.
Yes.
And the way the industry was trying to position this as like, yes, girly, get it, queen, you look so cool. And La Roche was like styled in this hot black leather piece I put together for her. And that video, as presented as like a piece of art by this artist who's admirable and desirable, is very hard to watch because she is so thin.
Yes.
You're seeing bones you should not see that are not, that it's just like very, I am lucky that I've never had an eating disorder. I haven't struggled with that specifically, but even seeing that was like so triggering for me of like, oh my gosh, like the body dysmorphia of like seeing that and having no one calling it out, instead glorifying it or like celebrating it as like a win for music. That was really hard to stomach.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so she's been on, well, I guess to go back, like, yes, when she was doing the Wicked press tour, like people were like, oh, they're really skinny. This has been, and especially if you know, just go back a couple of years, like it's sort of markedly different. And Ariana Grande is already a tiny person. Mm-hmm. So people were concerned, but it felt, you know, more, I guess, in line with like general sort of bad habit beauty standards that I think mm-hmm. are across the industry. Where then she started touring this year, and all of these tour videos are online of her performing. Mm. And it's like, she just looks so frail and is like, can barely like drag the microphone stand around. Like her dancing is not quite like up to snuff, especially when, you know, when she's surrounded by all of these like dancers who are, you know, like physically training all the time because this is their job. So that was, I feel like, disturbing. And whenever I saw people posting the videos online, I was like, this is like making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then this new music video was a whole nother step further. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday they announced that she would be dropping out of the Sunday in the Park with George West End production.
Yeah.
That isn't running until next summer. So I think that is interesting because they probably wouldn't have even gone into rehearsals for that until, you know, sometime in the like late winter, spring. So I think it's interesting that that is the thing that they pulled out or she pulled out of. And it was a statement about how like she wants to sort of like be removed from the public eye. Mm-hmm. Also an interesting piece of this is that Focker-in-Law, the Meet the Parents movie, is coming out in November around Thanksgiving. And presumably she'll be doing press for that, but maybe not if she's sort of taking a step back. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Yeah, but I guess to sort of talk about this like in a more general way, it is like, I sort of don't know what to do in this situation because on one hand, there's been so much talk about people's bodies, you know, like whether people are, you know, quote unquote, like too heavy, too thin, like plastic surgery stuff, like all kinds of things for years. And I do think all of that conversation in general is pretty bad and pretty toxic, no matter what side of it you are on. But then this presents itself like as more of a safety concern than, you know, if you're like saying, oh, someone's nose is too big or someone's nose is too small or whatever. It's like, okay, well, that's like, there's no like, that's not a life or death situation where this sort of feels like it is. But then I also don't know where or how that impacts like the other side of things.
Right.
Of like, okay, if someone is like 400 pounds, should we be like, you know, saying something to them? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's like, I think like I said, it comes down to public discourse doesn't have to revolve around someone's appearance. And whether right. that's talking about Amy Schumer or Ariana Grande, like there's a layer of like public discourse that will always be toxic and like with no real interest in care or, you know, care right. or thoughtfulness. And so, yeah, on a general note, I stand by, like, don't talk about other people's bodies. But I think it's hard to witness a growing trend of, like, skinniness again, because I don't know how familiar you were with, like, diet culture as yes. our youth. Mm-hmm. And, like, the what was it called, like the cocaine chic or whatever,
yes,
yeah, and like just the skinniness and obsession there. And so there has been like alarm bells over the last, you know, 5 years or so, where more and more people have been promoting like, oh yeah, it's so easy to be skinny now, so you might as well like go on these diet pills, and you might as well starve yourself, and you might as well get this thin, and let's see how far we can push it. And we don't need body diversity anymore, and we don't need body neutrality. We can control ourselves and be the beautiful beings we can be. And that's just like, that's too familiar to me. Like, I still remember every yogurt commercial, every Weight Watchers commercial, like as a girl. And I hate the idea that we're going back to that, and that we're resisting any criticism of that by pretending it's like rude to talk about. And it's like, well, when you're in the public eye and you're not just like, you know, Ariana Grande is not just existing. She's not just going to buy milk and people are like, look at this photo, horrible angle. Oh my gosh. She is actively saying that she's healthy. Right. And that's hard, because like even in her statement, she's like, her team, I mean, you know, it's just the team renounced it, but they said, she looks forward to finishing the tour and ending on a high note, both healthily and happily, and then taking a much deserved break from public facing work, which has led to endless ongoing public scrutiny. And it's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's just no way. There's no way that that is healthy. And I take the stance that it's better to name that as unhealthy than to protect Ariana Grande's individual feelings.
Right.
And risk a generation growing up thinking that's their idol.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense of like, well, the thing with the GLP-1s is that I think you had a lot of people who were more on the forefront of pushing like the body positivity thing. And then the moment that a GLP-1 came along and gave them access to be like thin yeah. in an easier way, they were like, okay, well, actually, yeah, this is what I wanted all along. So like screw body positivity. Yeah. And then people who were already really skinny were like, oh, well, then I can also get on a GLP-1 and then be even more skinny. Mm-hmm. And so it just like spiraled out of control. Yeah. Another question I have is, okay, so So in her statement, you know, she says that she's healthy and that she's taking this time off because of all of this scrutiny or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But presumably she's going to be off for at least a year at this point, because she's right. canceling things that are happening next summer. Do you yeah. think that any piece of this is like, do you think that she's just going to go about her daily life now, or is she seeking some sort of treatment?
Yeah, I hope she gets help. I hope that her team is like a positive force in her life. Like like obviously that's the goal. And I don't think she owes us weekly updates, but I wish the like glamorizing or normalizing of her current physical state was handled more honestly. Like yeah. I think that was what was hardest for me, is I've like pretty much muted anything about Ariana Grande just because the physical is hard for me to see.
Yeah.
But La Roche posted about the music video. Right. And I was like shocked. I was stunned. And so it's like, yeah, I would wish that the statement could be more honest, just to cut through like this sort of parasocial, like, leave her alone type. This is Chadwick Boseman all over again. Like, it's like, well, I mean, first of all, most of it's not mockery. It's not like, LOL, what's going right. on? Like, it's like real concern because, I mean, I grew up in high school. I watched that like Carpenter's TV.
Yes.
That TV movie. And that like scarred me for life. And like, and so it's hard to watch it happen and think no one's going to say anything. So best case scenario, she is taking the time to take care of herself. She does have people in her corner who are like, no, you need rest. And like, I hope that that is what's happening. I wish they'd be more honest about it, considering the damage already done to the public. But I respect her handling, you know, that journey, however she needs to, out of the spotlight. But
I mean, maybe, yeah. maybe I feel like the best case scenario is that like she goes away, she gets some help, she figures things out, and then maybe she can come back and, you know, it's like, she can write an album about it. She can write a book about it. Like, she can sort of use her platform to, you know, help other Correct, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like these pop stars, they need material for their their songs. So
it could be a silver line.
Right. You know?
Yeah. And I also just want to say, like, a severe eating disorders, it's not as easy as like just learning to eat again. Like right. there's lasting repercussions and like, you know, general statement to the public, like, please take care of yourself because being skinny isn't worth it. And starting to eat again isn't that, you know, the simple, easy solution. And so it's like, oh, she's on tour. Oh, she's just working so hard. And like, no, you have to like take care of yourself even if you're burning the calories, like even right. if you're, you know, I just think there are some very serious repercussions to that sort of, yeah, we don't know what's going on with her health-wise, but that is not a realistic body. And to get to that body, you will be harming yourself. And so
right.
I just, yeah.
Well, especially at her age, you know, like, I think that's something you realize when you get older is, like, when people are in middle school and high school and even in college to a certain degree, there are some people who are just, like, extremely skinny naturally because, you know, they're, like, growing and the hormones and whatever. But it's, like, by the time you get to your 30s, I feel like everyone has, like, leveled out to a certain degree. like, yeah, it's, like, nobody is that size if they're eating normally as a, you know, 34-year-old or however old she is.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm glad she's taking a break. I'm glad she won't be on. I'm glad she'll be stepping back from the spotlight, if only for the, you know, continue the possibility of. Yeah, I hope she can sit a few things out.
Yeah, well,
because it would have been very hard to watch her in a theater show and.
Well, also, you know. I'm like, Broadway is, I mean, this is the West End, not Broadway, but it's like, is brutal. And that is not a short show either. Yeah. It's like, so there's a lot of potential there for, you know, health issues, which I'm sort of shocked haven't hit her already on this tour, but.
Yeah. Know. And I've seen a lot of comparisons drawn to like, oh, how the public has treated Judy Garland. We never learn anything. And I think we have learned a lot. I think it's similar to how, like, there was a lot of mockery. There's a lot of criticism of, like, Britney Spears or whatever. And now there's a lot more awareness about, like, okay, yeah, we don't know everything that's going on. And, oh, yeah, like, mental health matters and all this. And I've only seen concern. I haven't seen, like, oh, my God, she's disgusting. Like, I can't believe she thinks she's hot. Like, I'm sure that exists on the internet. But I think for the most part, people have been calling it out in a very careful and considerate way that's concerned about the health and safety of her as well as her fans.
Right. It's not like, oh, she's ugly. It's like, oh, like, this is a little scary and I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyways.
What else do you have for us?
Oh, well, I am afraid that's it. Oh.
Okay.
Do you have a better story to end on?
I'm like, there is speculation that possibly Sierra Miller is dating Shaboozy. Have you seen
her? Oh, cute. Good for her.
She was in a music video with his. And then she was, and then she went on like Jimmy Fallon, I believe it was, with him. Mm-hmm. And they sort of like had this moment where it's like, did they kiss? Did they not kiss? Because her hat was sort of in the way. But then, of course, Dumois released a thing about how they apparently went out to a club afterwards and were all over each other. But I'm like, I would love this if Sierra Miller's like rebound over West was Shaboozy. He seems fun
and hot.
And an actual real celebrity as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're already filming Summer House season whatever, right?
Yes.
She's the superstar. Who's even back? Like, what do you even talk about at that point?
Well, I mean, it's like all of the, you know, it's the old stalwarts and her and then, you know, new people. I've never watched Summer House, so I don't quite get how the dynamics work when you've got like four, like 45-year-olds and then a bunch of people who are like 28. That seems strange to me, like to get into a fight with somebody who's 20 years younger than you.
Yeah.
But they're apparently doing it. So I don't know exactly.
I look forward to it.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to move the like older people off onto other shows, but also they don't quite have like young people who are cool enough that they want to bring them back. And I think people liked West and Jesse, but then obviously now West is gone. So it's sort of like, okay, well, can you have a show that's just like Sierra, Jesse, and a bunch of like people who we've never seen before? Like, I don't know. So
I think they have enough characters already established for fans of the show to continue liking it, you know? Like, it's admittedly out of our, you know, wheelhouse, our interests, but I think enough of the cast has remained that it'll just be the same same slog. Should we do Love It or Hate It?
Yes, let's do Love It or Hate It.
Okay, so a new show came out on Hulu called Furious, starring Emmy Rossum.
Okay.
And it is so good. It is about a FBI agent who's investigating a serial killer targeting these rich men. And then you start to realize, like, and this isn't the first episode, so it's not a spoiler, but you start to realize that instead of it's not the money she's after, it's revenge for her, this character being sexually trafficked as a minor. And so it's like this sort of burn list she's working through. And so there's a lot of rage on her end, understandable questions of justice and, you know, what's valuable. It's really well done, really well acted. It actually comes from the mind of Liz Merriweather, who most famously did New Girl. And I love that. I love the duality of interests and that she can make one of the greatest, funniest sitcoms and then turn around and make a total vicious crime drama. That it's fun, it's good, it's heavy, but there's a lot of like, I wouldn't ever call it funny, but it's like, it's not arduous to get through, you know what I mean? Like, it's punchy and the characters are interesting and weather worn, but in a way that's less like Task, you know, on HBO, and more like zippy. So it's doing great. Excellent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. We're on episode 4 now, and I think there are 10. So,
okay,
an enjoyable summer feast for anyone feeling especially ragey and furious.
And you love to be a little ragey.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Like, yes, girl, get them, you know.
Okay, well, I have something very different.
Okay.
Which is a documentary from 1986 called Sherman's March. Okay. I'm like, I understand that by saying that it makes it sound boring and stodgy. This is like one of the most funny, fascinating documentaries I have ever watched. The premise is that this man, Ross McElway, who's the director, is going back home. I think he lives in Boston, and he's like going back home to the South to make a documentary about Sherman's March, which is, you know, where the Union sort of like burned its way through the South after at the end of the Civil War. However, this man is like clearly cannot be in a, like, refuses to be single. And so the documentary just sort of unravels into him like dating this series of progressively like more and more eccentric women that he like finds while he, or like stumbles upon while he's making this documentary. So it's like he'll be in town like trying to research things, but he's always sort of filming, and then he'll like bump into somebody, and then he'll like sort of and so it's like this documentary like very quickly is nothing about Sherman's March, and is about like six different women who he like is dating for like several months while he's making this documentary, and he like sort of never gets around to like actually making the documentary about Sherman's March. It's all just about these women. But it's fascinating to like, one, because everybody in it is a character, but also just like see so much regular life in like 1986 before we were born, and like how people are thinking about dating, how people are thinking about relationships, especially in the South. And like some of them are kind of more hippie energy. Some of them are more uptight. There's one girl who he's dating for a while, and then she reveals herself to be a Mormon.
Oh no. Sort of
like, wait, what's going on? It is, not available on streaming platforms that I'm aware of, but it's just been like refurbished or whatever. So they're like touring it around the country. So it'll be at about 3 theaters. And then also, I think it's available on Canopy if you have a library subscription and your library subscribes to Canopy. So,
so you just found it because it was in theaters.
Yes, it's in theaters in New York. And someone had told me, oh, this is like really good. It's one of like the best documentaries I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, let me go check it out. And it is riveting. Like, it is, the theater was packed when I saw it because I think it's gotten such like good word of mouth in New York. And they keep extending it at Film Forum because it is so interesting. And like people were laughing out loud through it just because of some of the crazy things that like, the women will say, that he will say. There's like this matchmaker lady who's like trying to help him out at one point. Like, it's wild. And you're kind of like, dude, you just like maybe make the documentary. You don't actually have to be dating someone while you're doing it, but he's like unable to fathom that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you know what? You did a good job pitching that. Okay. It really went in a different direction than I originally anticipated. So
yes, no, it is not a documentary about you know, the Civil War.
Thank God.
As good as that is. But if Sherman's March is a little hard to find, we'll be talking on Thursday about a movie that is not hard to find, which is Spider-Man Brand New Day, currently playing at every theater the world over. So we'll be back then to discuss. I have a lot of thoughts. I don't know what Shelby thinks, but I assume that she has a lot of thoughts as well. So everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll be back on Thursday. Bye.